Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 12 of The Police and the People. As with me, as always, I'm sorry, I can't talk today. Already starting off badly. I have Joshua Stokel, my business partner, partner in crime. How you doing, Josh?
That is correct. I'm doing great.
You seem to be talking better than me today.
I'm in good spirits, Tim.
All right. Well, you always are, you know, unless you get behind a school bus, right?
Yes. Yes. That's coming.
More on that later.
That's coming.
Also with us is our engineer and my son, the great and powerful Lucas Jones. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good, good. And Lucas is back at work, home from college, all rested, getting his swole on every day in the gym. Yeah, man. Life is good, right?
Yeah. I'm relaxing.
Yeah, life is good. Life is good. Lucas is now a double major at UNH, both accounting and finance. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Man, you're a glutton for punishment. Academic punishment.
Does that cost more money, Tim?
Does it cost me more money?
No. As long as I graduate on time.
Good point.
What's another decibel point? Here's the thing, Tim. Yeah. When you're drowning in the ocean, this is probably a Navy term, right? When you're drowning in the ocean, what's a glass of water?
Exactly.
What difference does a glass of water make?
Yep, yep, exactly. All right, so the Police and the People podcast, as everyone knows by now, we are here to bridge the gap between the police officers that serve the people and the people that are under the service of the police officers. Because, as you know, the media right now is painting oftentimes a bad picture of the police, creating sometimes these bad relationships between the people and the police. And we want to try to bridge that gap. And we do that by talking about issues in law enforcement, bringing in perspectives. A couple of episodes ago, we had an interview with a great guy.
Rogers Johnson,
yeah. From the Seacoast chapter of the NAACP. And we talked about perspectives. So, and that one's going to be coming out this weekend, by the way.
Yeah.
It's going to be launched this weekend. So, but that's what we want to do. Another mission of this podcast, The Police and the People, is to let everyone know in the law enforcement side of the house that Josh and I have a law enforcement training company called Granite State Police Career Counseling. So, Josh, why don't you tell us a little bit about GSPCC?
Sure. So, we are, as Tim said, a law enforcement and really an emergency services in-service training company. So you don't have to be a police officer. You could be police, you could be corrections, you could be probation, you could be a firefighter, you could be military. We've had all kinds of different people from different...
We've had federal,
yeah.
From law enforcement as well, yeah.
From different walks of the emergency services field, mm-hmm. And really benefit from our training. So what we do is we utilize what we call hosting agencies. So if you have a... if you have a multimedia room at your police or fire department and you say, we want to host some training, you contact us, we pick out or you pick out what types of training you want. We provide that training. You get free spots in the training. So some of your officers get to attend and you don't have to pay for it.
Right.
And it's convenient for you because it's right there at your facility.
Mm-hmm.
And we really do the rest. We do the signups. We provide the certificates.
Invoicing, all of that.
We take care of all of the logistics. All you have to do is provide the location, maybe some light refreshments, and get your people into some quality training. And we've got some really, really good training coming up. We have field training officer that's going to be coming up in June of 19. And then in the fall of 19, we've got a ton of classes coming up. We have leadership development, interview and interrogation, digital forensics and social media. We have FTO coming around again in October. We're going to have a new class called 911 Analysis, Is the Caller the Killer? And that's a class that discusses how you can determine if the person that's calling to report a homicide is involved.
Right.
We've got a lot of great classes that are going to be coming up this fall. So I encourage you to check out our website and see where and when they're going to be coming up.
Yep. That's gs-pcc.com. That's our website. On the main bar there, you'll see law enforcement training. Just when you hover over, they'll drop down. And we're up to 19 or so now.
Yeah. Something I don't think like we have quite 20, but yeah. we have quite a few classes. And now our instructors are starting to come from, you know, all corners of the globe almost. Correct. Right?
Yeah. Which is very exciting.
Yeah.
I like this component of it. I mean, I love our homegrown people as well here in New England. But we're starting to attract some instructors, like you said, from around the country. So yeah. This is a new step for us, and we're very excited about it. All right, so since we're talking about businesses, why don't we jump over here to Lucas. Lucas tries to sell some of his music on the internet. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find your stuff?
Sure. Yeah, I sell instrumentals at on this website. It's a music forum, airbit.com, airbit.com/LJProduction. So I have a handful of beats on there you can buy, or lease, and then also you can find my personal music on Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud. Just type in my name, Lucas Jones, and it'll be there.
Very good. Very good. The intro music that you're going to hear coming up, Lucas created that, and he's now working on another one for us. So I'm very excited about that. Yeah. I like that.
And I like your music, you know, and I'm kind of an old school guy, but I, I listen to the oldies, but I enjoy Lucas's music. I think it's contemporary, but it's got some heart to it. I guess that's what I would say. It's not poppy and bubblegummy. It's legit.
Right, right. And by oldies, he's referring to Lawrence Welk.
I love Lawrence Welk.
He does. And it's not a show. It's a what?
It's a program.
It's a program.
That's how old people talk. We say program. We don't say show. Television program.
And Josh is younger than me, by the way.
Love Lawrence Welk. Every Saturday night.
That is funny. All right, guys. Cue the music. Hello, everyone. Before we start our interview with Pat McNamara, I have an announcement to make here, and this is in the interest of being 100% transparent. On the day that we were originally scheduled to do the interview with Pat McNamara, there was some signals got crossed, and unfortunately, we were not able to do it. So in our efforts to reschedule, we just couldn't get everyone's schedule to align. Everyone out there can certainly understand that when you're trying to get all these moving parts to line up, doesn't always work out. And unfortunately, Josh could not be here with us today on the day that we are going to do our interview with Pat McNamara. Josh, we do miss you, my friend. You do bring a lot to the show, but we know that you work full-time, you are a husband, you are a father, and you are co-owner of a law enforcement training company. You have a lot on your plate. So we completely understand and we forgive you, my friend. Thank you very much. Enjoy. All right, we're here with Pat McNamara. Pat McNamara is a retired Army veteran, and you may know him from his videos on Instagram and from YouTube, which is a big inspiration to me. How you doing today there, Mac?
I'm doing awesome. I'm having a great day, as a matter of fact.
Is it sunny out?
No, it's... So you're up there in New England. I'm down here in the Southeast, and it's been hot. But today it's barely getting over 70. It's cloudy, little mist. So
it's sunny here. But when I woke up this morning, it was 54. Which
wow.
I'm a little tired of that shit. I got to tell you, I'm ready for some summer.
Of course.
Hey, well, again, thanks for being here with us. Got a few questions for you, if you don't mind, for our listeners. I guess we'll start off, if you don't mind, just telling us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, sure. Well, I did. I grew up in Connecticut. Joined the military when I was 17, delayed entry. I did 22 years Army Special Ops, a myriad of jobs in the special operations community. Rounded it off with 13 years in USASOC and Tier 1. Counterterrorism unit. I retired in 2005, and I've been doing the the training thing since then. I under my own banner of T-Max since 2010.
Okay. What do you do with T-Max? What's that all about?
Well, T-Max, number one, is an acronym, Training Marksmanship Adventure Concept Security. Okay. I hope you're taking notes, everybody. I cover all the bases with that, but my primary bread and butter is shooting, basically tactical shooting instruction.
Okay. All right. Now, do you do that all over the country, all over the world, or what?
All over the country.
Okay. Yep. All right. Now, how does that work? Does a local shooting range, like in New Hampshire, would Six Hour Academy give you a call to come up and do some classes?
Yep, and they've done that. I've been up there. That's basically how it works. Guys will send me an email, hey, can you come to our training facility? Then I say, yeah, man, let's put a tentative spot on the calendar.
Okay.
Then we figure that out first, because that's number one, because my calendar space goes fast, so I want guys to... Hey, and I tell them, just tentative, man. You know, you don't have to lock it in. You don't have to commit to anything, but you put it there now, otherwise you're going to lose it.
Yeah, man. Good point. Yeah.
You know, we'll piecemeal it and figure out the admin crap and then get the ball rolling from there.
Okay. And they handle all the like you said, the admin stuff, all the whoever's coming in to take the classes, they deal with all that, and you just show up and teach?
No, I do all my own admin.
Oh, you do? Wow. Okay.
Registration, all that crap, man. I do it all.
Oh, wow. See, now we do that too with our law enforcement training company, but we also have some instructors out there. We call them mercenaries. They go and they teach for various companies all over the country. And when they come to New England, they'll teach for us. But we take care of all that. We do all the backroom stuff. We find the place. We take care of all the registrations, all the admin stuff. They just show up and teach and get a check. It's a pretty good gig for them, if you ask me.
Nice.
As you know, it can be a real headache collecting checks and all that.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so I wanted to get your take. Since you work a lot with law enforcement and you meet a lot of cops, and I do listen to your podcast, and you've had a few guys on your podcast before. And just so everybody knows, that is the University of Badassery podcast, with CJ Ortiz. I love it. I love your podcast, man.
Cool. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And I was listening to your latest one the other day. I was out grilling and you were talking about, you were answering questions, and there was one from a law enforcement officer, and I don't remember the question, but you brought up the article that I sent you, and you was like, you said, oh, it's just pissing me off, so you couldn't talk about it. I was like, yes.
That blew my mind. I had to bring that up. I'm glad you heard that.
Yeah.
I get the city right, right?
What's that?
I got the city right in the podcast?
Yeah, in Minneapolis. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you did. And you're right. I'm the same as you. It just bothers me. And I guess we'll jump right into that, where, just so our listeners know, the mayor of Minneapolis has banned what he calls warrior training. Now, the first thing that popped out of me is, well, what the hell is warrior training?
Right, exactly.
I went to thousands of hours of training as a cop, and none of it was labeled warrior. So I'm not really sure where that's going. So what I think it is, though, is maybe classes that they feel are too much oriented in shooting, maybe? I'm not really sure. What are your thoughts on that?
He wants to putify the freaking the cop force in his city. That's what it sounds like to me. Because you could say that doing push-ups is warrior training.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, right. Exactly. Just PT training. Yeah.
He's just trying to appease his constituents, you know, by coming up with the most outlandish, ridiculous bullshit, saying, hey, our cops here are they're just going to be friendly and hand out flowers. That's all they're going to do.
Right.
You know?
Yep. We're not going to use force on anyone, which is a complete, utter bullshit. You know that.
I mean, I thought you were bullshitting me. You know?
No.
Read it, and then I looked it up, and I was legitimately mystified. I don't usually sit around with a slack in the gate with my mouth open. You know, I'm not a mouth breather. But my jaw hit the ground, and it stayed there the whole time I was reading the article.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way. I feel the same way. And maybe you've experienced this with the police officers you've taught, where there's a big push politically to change what they're calling the mindset of officers from a warrior mindset to a guardian mindset. Now, when I started in policing in 96, it was all about community policing, you know. But what I'd learned early on was, you know, you go out there with the best of intentions. You go out your day and you're nice to people, you're courteous to people. But if the claws have to come out, man, they have to come out. That's when the warrior kicks in.
That's right.
Yeah, and you always have to have your guard up. But again, you know, you got to know when to retract those claws. And you said it best the other day on the podcast. You know, when we're out there going to a call, we have to think worst case scenario.
Right.
Which I believe you described it as a bloody guy with a severed head in his hand or something like that.
300-pound naked redneck.
That's it.
Severed head in one hand and AK in the other.
There you go. And when it's not that, you're like, whew, man, I didn't want to have to deal with that today, right? So anyway, you're familiar with the sheepdog principle, right? I think it was, what's his name that came up with that? Dave Grossman, right?
Grossman, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the best thing because, you know, sheepdog, they're fuzzy, they're cool looking, they're probably very nice dogs.
But right, gentle guys.
Yeah, but when the wolf comes around, they're a different animal.
All business.
Yep, all business, that's the way it has to be. Cool. Yep. All right, well, I'm glad to see we're on the same page there, my friend.
You know, on that same note, there was a time also where certain LEO departments were discouraged by their command from participating in competitive shooting.
Really?
Yeah, there was a lot of, I ran my own IPSC club in the late 90s, early O's.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of LEOs were telling me that.
What was the mindset there?
Well, the mindset was that if you shoot an IPSC match, it's just all games, which is true.
Yeah.
But you're shooting your duty pistol in a match where you have to come up with solutions to problems that are ambiguous in nature,
mm-hmm.
perform in front of other people, so the pressure is up.
Right.
I think it's just that the command, whoever was issuing those orders, sucked at shooting, and you know, they didn't want to show their asses.
Maybe they were thinking that people were going to be a little too quick to pull the trigger.
Maybe.
I'm not. Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. I never experienced that. We had some competitive shooters when I was still a police officer. So I'm glad I didn't do that. I want to switch over to talking about your fitness videos, man. I got to tell you, and my son can attest to this. I quit my gym membership and I built a gym in my basement that consists of a punching bag, some heavy duty bands, a few dumbbells, and a lot of sandbags. And I friggin' love it. I've never felt better. So if anyone, they've never seen your videos on working out, can you talk a little bit about functional fitness and your philosophies on it?
So I have my own program called CST, Combat Strength Training.
Okay.
It took me years to develop. Went to courses and such and a lot of experimentation. When I retired from the military, I retired with 4 reconstructive surgeries, 13 broken bones.
Ouch. Wow.
I didn't want to be a disposable hero. You know, I wanted to be somebody who was fit in their latter years.
Yeah.
So I'm coming up with that system even while I was active. Once I retired, I massaged it. So I got a book, website, all this stuff. It's performance-based. So, in other words, it recognizes that we all perform differently in performance. It's measured by doing what we can with what we have. It considers, there's heavy consideration with time management because that's usually guys' biggest excuse. I ain't got no time, bro.
Yeah.
So the recipe is to work in anaerobic chunk in circuit to near metabolic threshold to meet anaerobic goal. And you work for about 25 to 35 minutes. It's simple, but it's not easy.
Correct. Yeah, it's pretty intense for that amount of time.
The work week is broken down, power day, strength day, speed and quickness, hypertrophy, and skill.
Okay.
those can be lumped. For instance, if you didn't have 5 days to work out, you could lump power and speed and quickness. You can lump strength and hypertrophy. It replicates as many real-world movements as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fight-centric. And
I like that.
It considers a couple things. It considers, one, to make incremental improvements. I tell people, if you cloned yourself yesterday, can you kick your clone's ass tomorrow?
Right. Right.
And then the other thing I stress is having people understand that there's four reasons why we work out. One, self-preservation, longevity, stronger, longer. Motion is lotion.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, and especially this is important in the LEO world. Number two, saving your own life.
Right.
Number three, and more importantly, saving somebody else's life. And number four, kicking somebody's freaking ass.
Which goes back to number two and three. I mean, okay, good.
Right. Yeah, but those are the reasons right there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, have you been driving on the road and you come up on a road detail, road construction detail, where there's police officers out there and they're just grossly overweight. Have you seen this?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it boggles my mind. It does. Yeah. In this job where you're working shift work, so it's very important to go back to your first principle where you need to keep your body and your mind right. Why are you not working out and you're eating garbage food? And number two, that person I don't think would be able to defend anyone, at least maybe for 5 to 10 seconds, and then they're going to be done, correct?
Right, right.
Yeah. So if you came upon a person like that, what advice would you give them? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, it's fine, because I do every once in a while.
Okay, good. What would you say?
Well, I'm pretty gentle with it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, too. When it comes to talking to people, you've got to be the right person who's going to say the right thing to the right person at the right time. So you've got to pick words correct, you know, wisely. I kind of empathize. I say, you know, hey, that we're all built differently. Some people are born big, man. Some people are born to be heavy, you know, heavy, not obese, but heavy. Some people are born to be skinny their whole lives.
Right.
When I have a guy who's overweight, like in a class, if he's an LEO, I'll say something like, hey, you got kids? Yeah, man. How old are they? 8 and 10. I'm like, I'll say, hey, you know, you got to consider, you got to be around for them kids, for those kids for quite some time, man.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I said, and then I'll just tell them, I'll just give them a freaking goal. I said, you know, you need to take off about 40 pounds.
Yeah, just put it right out there. Yeah.
And then I'm just blunt about it. And they usually, no, not usually, always, they always say, yep, you're right. But you know what happens? I'll see the same guy a year later, and he's 40 pounds lighter.
Well, that's awesome. That's great. So maybe blunt is the key.
Right.
Maybe now,
delivering is very important. You know, you've got to deliver right, and you got to, before you make the statement, you've got to have a keen understanding of whether or not that individual can take that criticism.
Sure.
But this, you know, coming from me, I have some credibility, and I'm no spring chicken. You know, if it were coming from a dude who was in his 20s and fit, I'd say, hey, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've been broken up, man. I've been busted up. I'm 54, and I'm rocking.
Yeah, you are. Yep.
So I've got some street cred there. You know, I have permission to say something.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. You do come at it from a different place. Yeah.
History.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, and the other thing I'll tell them a lot of times is I'll look at guys, like let's say they're heavy, and I have a lot of little movement stuff in my course, little movement.
Yep.
And say to that heavy guy, I say, hey, bro, you have got good footwork. What was your sport when you were in high school? Because I know he played sports in high school. If he has good footwork,
mm-hmm.
And he'll say, "Yeah, I was a football player or whatever it is." And I say, "Hey, that's a blessing having good footwork. you don't want to let that go, man. You need to take off 25 pounds. Otherwise, you're not going to have that footwork 10 years down the road. Because your knees are going to be backed up.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'll try to remember that next time I criticize someone. I'll use your approach. Because I'm 51 now, so I guess I have a little bit of that street cred, too. All right, my friend, a couple of last questions for you. The next one is, I'm a big fan of bold flavor. So I like bold coffee and I like bold beer. That means I love IPAs. And I know that you do too, right?
Yes.
What would you say is your, I know that, I'm not going to say your favorite, but of your top 10, what is probably your go-to IPA?
Well, I get asked that a lot. And I tell guys, hey, man, there's an app called Untapped.
Okay.
I don't know if you got that or not.
No, I don't.
You know, I said, get on that and follow me, because every time I have a new one, I'll log it, take a picture of it, and rate it.
Okay. All right.
There are about 6,000 breweries in the U.S. right now.
I know. It's crazy.
Anyone that's worth a damn makes at least two styles of IPA.
Yes.
We're talking, you know, 10 to 12,000 IPAs out there.
It's an ocean.
Right.
Of IPA. Yeah, I agree.
So when it comes to a go-to, it's nearly impossible for me to answer.
Okay.
Because there's so many good ones. Like, you know, the craze started on the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And West Coast, hey, come to California, come to Oregon, Washington, we have the best beer. But then New England crushed it. You know, New England just ran away with it to the point where, you know, Alchemist Heady Topper became like run of the mill.
Yes, it's one of my tops. I love like, that one. Yes.
Yeah, you know, you got these like Treetop and Lawson's, mm-hmm. or Treehouse and yep. Lawson's. You know that Lawson's Ship of Sunshine, was that Connecticut or Rhode Island? Oh my God! But there's a good go-to for you. But you got, you know, Captain's Daughter up there. There's just so many up there. Now, North Carolina alone, hundreds. Of,
really?
Maybe thousands, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I have a growler shop close to me that always has 40 taps on.
Oh, nice, nice.
And I'll probably be there tonight. But I've been doing nothing but North Carolina beer.
Well, if there's that many to choose from, why not, right?
Well, I mean, because, you know, Greensboro, Raleigh, Cary, Charlotte, Asheville, Wilmington, they're all kicking freaking ass in beer. And then I switched back to, I was on the New England style for a while. Now I'm back to West Coast style, because even North Carolina breweries are making awesome West Coast styles.
Okay.
I like heavy IBUs. A lot of people don't. I like it over the top bitter.
Yeah, do you like a little bit of a citrus finish?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what polishes it off. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Go ahead. No way I answered that, but I answered it enough to make the viewers understand that I have a keen palate for it, and that I love drinking good quality quaffs.
Hey, life's too short to drink shitty beer, right, man?
Oh, man. I have a local pub that I go to, and they always have a couple of really good taps.
Yep.
And it drives me batshit, you know, to see guys sitting around drinking Michelob Light after Michelob Light. I'm like, man, you're missing out, man.
Just, there's a nectar of the gods here. And you're just and you're drinking that piss water. I agree, man. I agree. Hey, so I was listening to you on Joe Rogan. Great job there, by the way.
Thank you.
And you'd mentioned that you're a hobbyist, and one of the things you said was you play drums.
Yep.
Just so you know, you're talking to two drummers here.
All right.
I've been playing drums since I was 13. I'm 51 now. Luca's been playing since, what, you're about 8?
Yeah, since about fourth grade. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Lucas is in a band now. So I got a couple of drumming questions for you. I know you're big into the rock and roll scene. What kind of kit you play?
It's a pretty standard vanilla 5-piece Ludwig with Paste hardware, because I didn't invest a lot, only because I only get on them every once in a while.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate. I have a built-in metronome. So if somebody wanted to come over and jam, I could freaking be their metronome all night long.
You can just keep time. That's the biggest part of being a drummer that most people overlook. They think it's about the flair, but no, it's about keeping friggin' time.
Yeah.
That's the key. Right, yeah. Your band will hate you if you can't hit on one right. Then they're going to give you the boot.
I got a good drumming story for you. I started. I picked up. I wanted to play in '97 because I was in a neighborhood and I heard drums coming from my neighbor's house. I hadn't met my neighbor night after night, so I walk over and I bang on his door. And he comes to the door and he's apologizing instantly for making a racket. I said, "No, bro, no, it sounds awesome. I was wondering if you could teach me." And it turned out he was a drum instructor.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And the way he taught me, I thought, is cool as hell. He said, "Yeah." He said, "Talk to me tomorrow. I got something for you." So I went to his house and he said, "I'm going to help you." And he worked at a music store. He says, "I'm going to help you buy a drum kit when you learn how to play."
Mm-hmm.
And he lent me a stool, a bass,
mm-hmm.
hot hat, and a snare.
Okay.
And he said, learn, and he gave me four basic beats.
Yep.
And he said, when you learn those four basic beats, I'm going to give you another piece. And then when you learn a simple roll, crash, I'm going to loan you another piece. And then, so he did it that way, until I could play a five-piece set, which was cool as hell.
Yeah, that is a good way to do it, because I used to teach, and I didn't do it that way, but that's a good approach. But I always did start with fundamentals and basics. You know, we didn't go to the toms until later on, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Do you, since you're really into to the heavy metal scene, do you play double bass?
No, I don't, But, man, I'm getting antsy in my pants.
Lucas does. I don't. I'm old school. I've always felt if you can't do it with one foot, it doesn't need to be done. But I know that in certain genres that you have to have a double bass these days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mac, thank you so much. We really appreciate this, man. Again, for taking the time to do this. For people who want to follow you in various social media, how can they find you?
I am, so on my biggest social media platform is Instagram. That's, and I am at TMAX Inc. TMACINC. I have a pretty cool YouTube channel, Pat Mac YouTube channel, with a lot of shooting videos and stuff like that.
Yep.
Website, www.tmaxinc.com.
And that's got
courses, my store, all my bling.
Oh, you bling. All right. And what was that performance workout website that you mentioned earlier so our listeners can get that?
CombatStrengthTraining.com.
CombatStrengthTraining.com. Cool. All right. Well, Mac, again, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And, man, stay safe out there. And if you're ever up in the New Hampshire area, feel free to look us up, man. We can enjoy an IPA together.
Rock and roll, bro.
All right, my friend. Take care.
All right. Thanks. See you, Mike.
So we talked a lot about fitness today with Pat McNamara, and what a good way to get in shape by getting off your butt and getting out there and running, and a good way to kind of have a goal for what you do when you're running is to sign up for a 5K, right? I've done it before.
Sure.
Yeah. Actually, my wife's first 5K, she did a program called Couch to 5K, and it worked for her. She finished it. And the very first one she did was the one I'm going to talk about here, which is called the Foot Race for the Fallen in Manchester, New Hampshire, which is held in October. So it'll be October 2019. It's a 5K, and it goes right through downtown Manchester, and it ends conveniently enough at a beer tent. Go perfect. Figure that, right?
Perfect.
Wow, man, they mapped that out perfectly.
Right. And how many miles do they have to run, Tim?
3.1.
In a row?
3.2. Well, you could probably walk, run if you wanted. You could probably have a friend pick you up since it is in Manchester, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So the reason we talk about this particular run is because we have now sponsored this run. So it is the Foot Race for the Fallen, and it was born, if you will, when Michael Briggs was murdered in 2007, I think it was, Manchester PD. And it was after that it started to happen. And I don't want to say that the race is dedicated solely to him, because Manchester has lost other officers as well. But I just remember that in my career. So it is for a good reason. And a lot of the proceeds go to the Manchester Police Athletic League, which is an outstanding program. And if you do sign up for this particular race, if you give the promo code GSPCC2019, again, that's GSPCC2019, you get $5 off your registration. So look at there. I give you an incentive to get off your butt and work out, a goal to go towards, a 5K, and $5 off your registration. And there's a beer tent. And I think the first one's free.
And that $5 that's legit coin money, Lucas.
Legit. Cash money.
Yep.
Legit.
Legit coin money.
Legit coin money. All right, moving on. So if you know anyone who is looking to get into law enforcement, I highly recommend that you go to gs-pcc.com and you purchase our book called Law Enforcement Test Preparation Guide. It is a soup-to-nuts guide on how to be ready and be prepared for a law enforcement test process on every part of it, from filling out an application all the way through to the interviews, oral boards, etc. And it is easy to read, easy to follow, very pragmatic. And we have used this same curriculum that the book is based on at New England College, very successfully.
Yep.
Their students are seeing a larger hiring rate now in the law enforcement world. So it does work. You just have to follow it. You just have to put in the work. But here's your guide. Law Enforcement Test Preparation Guide. You can find it on our website, gs-pcc.com, gs-pcc.com. There's two C's there. Or you can go to Amazon and find it there. Please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and Alexa. We are alive and well in the social media world, on Twitter, at gspcc1, on Facebook. Even on Instagram, that's a new one I'm trying to get us involved with. It's been pretty fun to do that. We are at GSPCC on Instagram. If you'd like to receive our monthly newsletter, all you have to do is go to our website. Again, that's gs-pcc.com. And up in the right-hand corner, you can click on the icon that takes you right to the screen where you just put in your email address and boom, you're done. You're already in. And it is very informative. We talk about current issues in law enforcement. We talk about nutrition and health and other funny things along the way.
We usually have an article every other month.
We highlight what I call the Blue Cape Award, which is a police officer that's done something very heroic. And generally good reads. So it's a fun. It's nice to have. So do it. Just do it, right?
Absolutely.
Just do it. Yep. There's no debate. All right. Thank you, everyone. Thanks again to Pat McNamara for doing an interview with us. We're just flattered, man. I love your work. I love what you do. And I keep it up, and we wish you the best. Everyone out there, please be safe, and have a great day. Thank you.